are going to talk to this hour the author of Saving Lives, Why the Media's Portrayal of Nurses Puts Us All at Risk. We're going to talk about why it matters that medical TV shows like Grey's Anatomy don't give a true representation of the nursing profession, and they perpetuate stereotypes of nurses, like in this scene, where a patient is getting guided through his pain with X-rated talk about naughty nurses.
Okay, so there were these women, nurses, three nurses, and they were naughty. Really, really naughty. They were three naughty nurses. Saucy, even. They were saucy and bad and naughty. Three saucy, bad, naughty nurses.
Three saucy, bad, naughty nurses. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 past 8 on this Thursday, May the 7th. We will welcome perhaps examples that you may have caught on medical TV shows or movies or advertising that negatively or inaccurately portray the nursing profession. And we will welcome your questions for our guest at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234, or send us an email, talk@wpr.org. We also want to give you an opportunity, if you want to thank a nurse, as it happens to be Nurse Appreciation Week. Our guest is Sandy Summers, the founder and executive director of The Truth About Nursing, a nonprofit organization devoted to changing the way the world thinks about nursing. She was executive director of the Center for Nursing Advocacy from 2001 to 2008 at Johns Hopkins University, and she is the author of the newly published book, Saving Lives, Why the Media's Portrayal of Nurses Puts Us All at Risk. And she joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So you don't think nurses get the appreciation that they deserve in the media?
No, they don't. It's a long history of disrespect of nursing, and it seems to only be getting worse as female physicians now take the leading lady role in these dramas. In the 1970s, in order to have balance between men and women on healthcare shows, you had to have a male for a physician and a female for a nurse. But now that women can become physicians, television thinks that nurses are no longer needed. And that's
seriously
insane.
So now we're not seeing as many nurses as we used to.
Right, on television. And so when the shows are set up, for instance, ER, they had 9 physician characters and 1 nurse character. At least they had one. But House and Grey's Anatomy, they have only physician main characters. So in order to show a good drama, they have to have the nursing work has to be done on television in order for it to be dramatic. So they have the physician characters doing the work that nurses do in real life. So when physicians do all this nursing work, they get the credit for it from the public and from decision makers and people who decide where money flows. Mm. So, you know, they get all the funding for it. For instance, their physician residencies, for instance, get 300 times more funding for their residencies than nursing residencies do. And research dollars, the National Institutes of Health, nursing only gets half of 1% of the NIH budget, where the vast majority of funding for research in this country comes from. And that's the level of disrespect that decision makers have for nursing because of the images that they see on television, the articles they read in the newspapers, the films, music.
Seriously, you think that it's because of media presentations that this funding is so much less for nurses?
Well, it all, these decisions don't just rain down from the clouds. You know, how to short staffing for nursing or mandatory overtime. These decisions start in people's heads. Mm-hmm. And what's inside people's heads comes from all the images we have been pelted with from the day we were born.
Yeah.
And those images largely come from the media. People think they know what nurses do by watching the media. You know, there's this one scene that I found really damaging on ER. Not a word was said, but a physician walked in a room and a nurse walked by him and draped a stethoscope over his neck. It was a three-second scene, but in those three wordless seconds, ER managed to tell the world that nurses stand in the corners of rooms anticipating physician equipment needs. Mm-hmm. This is our job, to anticipate what physicians need, that we are their handmaidens, their servants. We don't have anything, any meaningful work of our own to do. We just exist to serve them. The physicians do all the important work. They make all the important decisions, and they're the only ones who deserve any thanks for saving lives. So ER managed to send that message in 3 seconds without words because of this simple little thing. They needed the actor to have a stethoscope in the next scene, but they could have had that stethoscope hanging from a doorknob, so he could have picked it up, you know. But they weren't thinking about the messages that they were sending. And there's all sorts of messages about nursing that come into our brains that we don't even realize are coming in, and people just assume that they know what nurses do. But nurses are the ones who defibrillate, for instance. They check those machines every day, and they make sure they're working accurately, and they're the ones who apply the paddles and inject the shocks. They're the ones who identify the lethal rhythms, those squiggly little lines on the screens. They're the ones that say, this is VTAC, we need to shock. They apply the paddles. They shoot the electricity, shoot it through the patient, and save the lives. And that's one of the most dramatic moves on television. You see it on almost every episode of every healthcare show because it's so dramatic. What move could be more testosterone-influenced than a defibrillation to be able to do that to somebody and save somebody's life? And that's the sort of thing we need 16-year-old boys to know, that nurses defibrillate, nurses save lives that way, because the more dramatic and exciting nursing is portrayed to be, because it really is, you know, the more talented people we're going to get into the profession. The more decision-makers know about the life-saving work that we do, the more funding we're going to get for our clinical practice, education, and research. You know, the biggest block in the pipeline to getting enough nurses into the workforce is the nursing faculty shortage. We don't have enough faculty, in part because we only get $1 out of $200 of the National Institutes of Health research money. So, you know, medical schools get a lot of money through research dollars. They're physicians who teach at medical schools get all these research dollars, and the whole school is well-funded that way. But nursing schools do not get similarly funded, in part because NIH doesn't give nurses research dollars.
You know, I wanted to ask you about that clip I played in the introduction, the Naughty Nurses one from Grey's Anatomy. I guess I don't need to ask, but why did you object to that clip?
Well, the Naughty Nurse, and it's funny because Hollywood dramas don't use the naughty nurse so much. It's normally advertisers who are the worst about using the naughty nurse. But Grey's Anatomy is especially damaging to the nursing profession. One of the very first episodes of Grey's Anatomy, they started out with the main character, Meredith. One of the main characters, Alex, was talking about how he hated nurses, and then he called Meredith a nurse. And she said, "Did you just call me a nurse?" And later her friend Christina said, "You know, pig who called Meredith a nurse, I hate you on principle." And so that sort of contempt that the female physician characters on that show have for nursing, they would do anything to set themselves apart from nurses who they perceive to be low-life, second-class citizens who belong in the dustbin of history. So it was actually interesting when they did have that naughty nurse clip, because that was they have had a couple other references to the naughty nurse on Grey's Anatomy, but of course, Christina couldn't have had a naughty physician because, again, she and her female physician friends do anything they can to set themselves apart from nurses.
Yeah, I noticed. I'm sorry, go ahead.
But the naughty nurse is really damaging. It's very prevalent, and there's a study in the UK that found that nurses are the most sexually fantasized about profession. For females, and firefighters were for males.
Yeah, all right, so what's the harm in that?
So the harm is that people think when nurses are constantly portrayed as, these sexualized people, that it is our job to provide sex to patients and physicians. And when it's our job to do this, that makes us some sort of in-hospital prostitute. And when it's our job to do that, well, why bother funding our schools? Because it really doesn't take any education at all to be able to you know, provide sexual services. Children do it, unfortunately, you know, in some horrible brothel-like, you know, sexual slavery instances. So it doesn't take any education to do that. And so why bother funding us? And it contributes to sexual harassment of nurses. There's one study that found that 72% of nurses are sexually harassed in the workplace. Nurses are grabbed and groped all the time. It contributes to, I mean, they're really demoralized, nurses in the workplace, when they're constantly objectified. So it is damaging. And, you know, we do not object to nurses having sex or sex lives or whatever, but to be portrayed as having it be part of our jobs is the damaging thing.
Our guest is Sandy Summers. She is co-author with Harry Jacob Summers of Saving Lives, Why the Media's Portrayal of Nurses Puts Us All at Risk. She says the media, full of negative and inaccurate images of nurses, all those TV medical shows like Grey's Anatomy, Private Practice, ER, showing nurses as perhaps naughty or handmaidens, or how about the battle axe? We can talk about that one, too. All of this, she says, contributes to a negative perception of nursing, contributes to the nursing shortage, and contributes to nurses not getting the respect they deserve. What do you think? Do you have any questions for her? Maybe some examples of this that you've noticed? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you along. Hope you stay tuned. Also very happy that you came through yesterday during One Day Wednesday. Our One Day Spring Pledge Drive was a great success. More than 4,300 members contributed more than $420,000 to support Wisconsin Public Radio and the programming that you depend on. It was a record fundraising day for Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to you. So now we have many months of non-fundraising, or at least fundraising free on air here on the Ideas Network. Thanks again. We're talking about the media and our perception of the nursing profession. Our guest says the media negatively portrays nursing, and that contributes to a lot of harm. And we're welcoming your thoughts and questions for her. Sandy Summers is the author of, co-author of Saving Lives, Why the Media's Portrayal of Nurses Puts All of Us at Risk. Let's take some calls. Judy in Ripon joins us first. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Joy. I seem to grab the phone and call every time there's a healthcare-related issue when you guys have them on the air. I've been a registered nurse for over 25 years. I've worked pretty much exclusively in intensive care and critical care. And I really want to say, first and foremost, that I don't understand where the misconception comes from that there is a nursing shortage. There truly is not. What we have is a shortage of, and this is not involving the media, this is a little off topic, but we have a shortage of nursing assistants. We have a shortage of people who want to go into nursing and do the real work. We have plenty of people coming out of the nursing schools that want to, because they see, this is where I disagree with the guest, they see things on ER that makes it look really exciting and really fast-moving all the time, and it's really not that way. It's a lot of slugging, hard physical, emotional, long shifts. It's a lot of that, and I think these new grads get out, and they think that it's always going to be this fast-moving, you know, exciting, always doing something. You know, do we defibrillate? Absolutely. We do it all the time, but not every day, you know. It's not that exciting. You're more overwhelmed by the long, hard work that it is. And right now I work in a large hospital in the Fox Valley, and we have not hired a single new graduate. I believe there's a hiring freeze in Madison. I could be wrong about that. I had another nurse that just recently told me that, but I didn't talk to anybody in the know. But they're not hiring nurses. And I think what nurses should be doing, instead of worrying so much about what the media is portraying, we should all be rallying for universal health care, because that's where the difference will come in as far as getting our hospitals staffed.
Now, hold on, Judy. You bring up a lot of great points. Sandy Summers, what about, first of all, there's really not a nursing shortage?
Well, there's 3 million RNs in the U.S., and 500,000 RNs are not working in nursing. So I have said the same thing that the caller did, that there isn't really a nursing shortage. There's a willing nurse shortage. Hospitals since the 1990s have started to denursify the healthcare field. They've started to shorten hospital stays, which takes away nursing care, and they've started to take nurses away from the bedside and replace them with technicians and nursing assistants. So now nurses get 8 patients instead of 4. Sometimes they get 10 or 12. And this is what contributes to increase in patient deaths. In fact, a study a couple of years ago published in the Journal of American Medical Association found that when you double a nurse's workload from 4 patients to 8, patient mortality increases by over 30%. So I think that, I think the caller said that there's a shortage of nursing assistants. I believe she said that, but I do not agree with that. There's a shortage of nurses. And that when nurses are replaced with nursing assistants, that's when patients start to die. There's this belief that a lot of nursing work is too menial for nurses to do, for instance, taking vital signs or emptying bedpans. This belief that emptying a bedpan is the lowest form of work any human could do is just wrong. When you empty a bedpan, you can identify an intestinal obstruction, kidney, gallbladder, liver disease, intestinal bleeding, intestinal infections, any sort of these conditions that can kill someone. And if you don't have an educated registered nurse looking at the contents of the bedpan, then patients do not get the functioning of their internal organs evaluated, and that's how patients can die. And indeed, vital signs as well. Those should be done by a registered nurse. When you go in, you take somebody's vital signs. Those machines do not always tell the truth. Those machines where you push a button and get a blood pressure out of it, they lie. Sometimes a heart rate is 220, and it will register 110 because it only picks up every other heartbeat. I have seen a blood pressure of 110 over 70 on a dead man. Those machines cannot be trusted, yet they're given to nursing assistants to take vital signs. And registered nurses, that takes away the registered nurse away from the assessment piece. The more, the fewer patients registered nurses have, the more often they can go in and check on patients. And that's how you prevent patients from circling the drain and dying. You've got to check on them more frequently.
Sandy, what about Judy saying that these shows actually portray the whole medical profession and nursing profession as this exciting, fast-moving life when really it's not always that way and it's hard, hard, hard work. And if it was accurately portrayed, maybe nobody would join the nursing profession.
Well, I think all television dramas portray things as much more dramatic than they actually are in real life. I'm not sure if there's any escape from that. What I do object to is that they portray the roles that professionals carry out. They don't portray those accurately, and they have physicians doing the work that nurses do in real life, and I think that's what's really damaging. And I agree with the caller about, universal health care would be a great thing, and I think that's, important, but we have to, when you talk about trying to remake the healthcare system, you have to get to the bottom of why people think the way they do, why they make the decisions that they do. And the decisions they make, especially revolving around the nursing profession, those start with the media images that we see and that we read about every day, and they affect the decisions that everyone makes about the nursing profession. And if we can change the way people think about nursing, if we can educate the world to know that nurses save lives every day, nurses save lives by emptying a bedpan, if people can understand that, they can understand that nurses need more funding for clinical practice, they need more funding for schools, and they need more funding for research. And then we can resolve the global nursing shortage. Once we get nursing properly valued, we can get the funding that we need, resolve the shortage, and if we have more nurses in every community all across the world, we can prevent conditions like HIV and tuberculosis and malaria and diarrhea and malnutrition. These things kill millions, and we could prevent these if we had nurses in every community educating the population about the health care that they need.
All right, Sandy, were you advocating that a show like ER show a nurse emptying a bedpan and diagnosing someone? Do you really think the TV show should show that?
I do. Mm-hmm. I do. I mean, people just have such contempt for people who empty bedpans. There's nothing wrong with emptying bedpans. I mean, people are sick. They need to be taken care of. There's vital information in that bedpan that we can determine, it has everything to do with the patient's health. If there's a bedpan full of blood, like I've seen many, many times, you know, if you have a nursing assistant empty it and that nursing assistant doesn't know blood from regular poop, I mean, how is the patient going to be identified? So, you know, we'll send the patient home, the patient will bleed out at home, and then they'll be dead. But if you had an educated nurse looking at the contents of the bedpan, then we can save lives.
Speaking of ER, was it your group that said, well, not perfect, ER has shaped up a little bit in terms of its portrayal of nurses?
Absolutely. When we first started going in 2001 as a group, the minor nurse characters weren't appearing at all on the show, and the major nurse character, they mainly had her, having relationships with physicians, and her family life was a mess, but they hardly ever had her actually doing nursing work on the show. So we started contacting them, and they were pretty resistant at first, and they remained resistant to our messages throughout the end, but I think in the last couple of years especially, maybe they were trying to go down on the right side of history. I don't know, but we were asking them to send a nurse to graduate nursing school instead of medical school. Like they had the Abby Lockhart character, who was the main nurse character in the middle years. She went to medical school and became a physician. In the early years, the Carol Hathaway figure, she aspired to nursing school. Yet when nurses go to graduate school, they're 100 times more likely to go to graduate school in nursing than they are in medicine. And most of the public doesn't even know that you can get a graduate degree in nursing. And when you tell the average member of the public that nurses with PhDs exist, they laugh or get slack-jawed because they can't believe that nursing is about anything more than bedpans.
You know what? The clip that we picked from ER is somewhat similar to bedpans. Let's take a listen.
PB and 3 needs an HMP, honey.
Lucky you.
What's a PV?
Projectile vomiting.
Guy's like a champ. Puke went 8 feet. We thought he might have broken a window.
Is this a nurse's job?
My God created med students.
That was, I don't know if everybody caught that, that was a nurse telling the med student that cleaning up after the projectile vomiter was a med student's job, not a nurse's job. What did you think of that, Sandy Summers?
Yeah, I must have missed that in real life because I don't recognize it. Well, I've never seen a medical student clean up vomit.
but saying that that's a nurse's job, that is an accurate portrayal of what a med student might say to a nurse?
Oh, a medical student said that to a nurse. I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. So, medical students, it's not in their best interest to be so disrespectful to nurses, honestly. So most of them wouldn't say that in real life. But nurses, yeah, generally do have to clean up the messes in life. But you know, patients need to be kept clean to preserve their health. So a lot of things that we have to do is kind of unpleasant at sometimes. Excuse me, but patient health requires it, so you kind of muddle through with it. And in fact, nursing assistants and technicians do sometimes have to fill this role, and housekeepers are not given the respect that they deserve either, and they have to clean up a lot of disgusting messes.
Let me go to another caller, Carrie in Port Washington. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Wow, there's a lot of information I'd like to comment on, but the first thing is I do agree with Julie's portrayal of the nursing shortage. I'm in the medical field, but I'm not a nurse, and I work with a lot of nurses who are fantastic. The problem with the TV dramas, in my perception, is that they're drama. I mean, this is drama. No, I don't think anybody in reality thinks that that's how things go. And if they do, then they're people who are uneducated, and I don't think you can change that by research and all these dollars that you're looking for. I think you have to look at it for what it is. Everything on television is drama. Unless you put a reality show on that has cameras right in an ER or right in a nursing home, that's the only way you get the true picture of what nurses do or therapists or whatever. I just think that this is time that could be spent doing much better things. I think nurses are looked upon very favorably. I work in the physical therapy field, and I have CNAs that are always looking for ways to go back and get a better education, and nursing is what they pick. They don't pick physical therapy. They see the nurses that they work with, and they think, wow, I want to do that. That's a great job, what they do. So I think, I don't know, I think that this is a topic that needs further investigation as far as really, you know, how much time do we need to dedicate to the portrayal of what nurses do on TV versus what they do in the field, and spend this time trying to get better care for our patients by getting more nurses on staff. And it's not about the shortage. It's about what these hospitals and what these nursing homes want to pay out. They don't want to get more nurses. They're out there. I have a lot of unemployed nurses that are friends. They don't want to hire them. They're all in a hiring freeze. And they're good quality people.
Well, right now during the, you know, this economy, there have been some layoffs at hospitals, including nurses. But Sandy Summers, many more problems in the medical field and the healthcare industry than how nurses are portrayed in the media, I believe, is Carrie's main point.
Right. Well, Carrie, thanks for your call, and I'm glad I get a chance to address this. And a lot of people do call us or write to us and say, it's just a television show, get over it. But the media images that people see every day affect real-life decisions. In fact, there's research that shows that 90% of people get their healthcare information from television. Half of these people get it from dramas like ER and Grey's Anatomy. Half of all people believe that the information that they get is accurate. And there have been many articles about how juries, for instance, are less likely to convict anymore because of how persuasive CSI has been. And now juries are requiring a lot more scientific information before they're willing to convict. And there, of course, there are trillions of dollars put into advertising and millions put into political advertising. And these dollars shift the way people think in terms of what they buy, in terms of who they vote for. So the media images do affect the way that we think. And while I think, you know, fixing short staffing is one of the most vital issues before us, short staffing doesn't rain down from the clouds. It starts in what people, in people's heads. So we have to change the way people think before we can get them to make the decisions, to give us more funding, to hire more nurses. We can't just, like, say, hey, hire more nurses. We have to change the way they think about, this is important. Why are you thinking this way, that nursing assistants could do the job of a nurse? This is a wrong decision. You need to give us more money to hire more nurses. More nurses, research shows, not only saves lives, it also saves money. So the more educated the nurse is, the better they're able to save lives based on research, and the more money a hospital is able to save. So this would be a win-win, but first we have to educate people. And that starts with analyzing the images that they get from the media and telling people how wrong they are and trying to convince the media to do a better job portraying nurses accurately.
When you mentioned CSI, that reminded me that there must be a lot of lawyers out there or police officers out there or crime scene investigators out there with all those TV-type shows, the crime dramas, that say, hey, we're not accurately portrayed either. So what's the difference?
That they're welcome to complain as well. But I do believe that police investigators are portrayed as competent professionals. But when you look at television shows of nurses, like most of the time they're portrayed as wallpaper. On House, for instance, nurses are lucky to get portrayed from the elbow down. And there's a lot of contempt directed by House at nurses. Well, when they do decide to talk about nurses, sometimes they exist to clean up poop, or a patient fell on the floor once and he stumbled out to the hallway and said, nurse, clean up on aisle 3. Mm. So this is how they exist on House. And people say, House has contempt and for everyone on the show. But the difference is the nurses on the show never speak back. They never say, well, in fact, you're wrong for reasons X, Y, and Z. They just kind of, they say nothing, and they slink away from the camera. The physicians give it back to House in spades. They have all this diagnostic information, technical information. They give it right back to him. There's no question by any viewer that the other physicians on House are extremely talented professionals who can save lives with or without health. But the nurses, nobody would ever get that impression from them that they're lifesavers. They're just, they're idiots on the show. They're not portrayed as having any independent thinking ability, decision-making ability. Nurses make independent decisions every day, and that, which saves lives.
We will take more calls in just a moment for Sandy Summers. She is founder and executive director of The Truth About Nursing, a nonprofit organization devoted to changing the way the world thinks about nursing. She is also co-author of the book Saving Lives, Why the Media's Portrayal of Nurses Puts Us All at Risk. 1-800-642-1234 is our toll-free number if you'd like to join in, or email us, talk@WPR.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is The Ideas Network. This is The Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Stay tuned. Coming up, Kathleen Dunn is with you. As a part of bankruptcy, automaker Chrysler will close its Kenosha plant and open a new plant in Mexico to produce a new engine there, originally promised here. After 9, Kathleen and her guests will discuss how job outsourcing is impacting Wisconsin workers after 9 o'clock. We are talking about why our guest says the media's inaccurate and negative portrayal of the nursing profession is putting all of us at risk. And our next caller is Tom in Green Bay. Hi, Tom.
Hi. I'm a nurse. I've worked 28 years in the field, 25 critical care, and I'm just coming back home from nights. I don't watch any of those shows because I agree with you 100%. They're totally fictitious. There's nothing worse than seeing an ET tube that isn't secured in a patient's mouth and they're talking. But the other thing regarding nurses, nurses do make the decisions on what needs to be done with the patient. They're the eyes, ears, brain of the doctor when they're not there, and they're there probably for 15 minutes if they're lucky during the day, and then we communicate everything that they need. The best reassurance that nurses get, I think, is the response they get from their patients when you do something that really makes them comfortable or something and they give you a thank you. I think that's the biggest impact that directly to the nurse. But the TV shows, they need a reality-based TV show that shows nursing isn't always, like you said, like in critical care, the shift can start out crazy. It slows down. You sit, you relax, but you're getting paid for watching and anticipating problems. And then it can all of a sudden turn into a big uproar again with somebody coding and a ton of patients coming in. So I think it would be nice if they would put a reality show that would be more from the nurse's perspective, how they handle the doctors, how they suggest to the doctors, and sometimes know what's going on and anticipate things that are going on and relay that to the doctor and even ask for certain medications that need to be ordered at a particular time, because it's a collaborative effort.
Tom, hold on a minute, and Sandy, too. I want to play a clip from Private Practice, and I want to get both of you to react to this.
Hello, I'm Del Parker,
and I'll be doing...
No, get the check napkins, the red and white kind. They told me I was getting a nurse.
I am. I have my nursing degree, and I'm about to be certified.
They sent me a boy nurse.
I need to ask if you'd like a female chaperone present for the exam.
No, just do it. I got to pick up my daughter from ballet.
So, Tom, has that ever happened to you?
No, I usually get mistaken for being the doctor, and I have to tell them, no, I'm your nurse today.
Yeah, that's right. And Sandy, that's usually the issue, right?
Well, that men and nursing get mistaken for physicians. Yeah,
right.
And I'm very proud of the ones who say, no, I'm your nurse, and say it with great pride, because men in nursing should have great pride. All nurses should have pride. So, yeah, and the television shows that do portray men, sometimes... Sometimes they show more men in nursing on television than actually exist in real life, which I give them credit for, but they often don't portray the men in nursing any more competently than the women in nursing. And the Del Parker character on Private Practice, during the first season especially, they had him as a receptionist. And I don't know why a registered nurse would act as a receptionist, get half or one-third the pay he could actually earn as a registered nurse, and that was just ridiculous. Now, this year, he has moved into more of an office manager, and sometimes they let him do some of his nurse midwife work. He's an RN and he's in nurse midwifery school, but they never show his nurse midwifery school, and they act as if the physicians are training him how to be a nurse midwife instead of his nurse midwife professors at his university.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just kind of a ridiculous portrayal there, but they have improved a small step from the outright contempt from last year that they exhibited.
Yeah, so Sandy, what do you think of Tom's idea that maybe it would be good to have a true reality show showing what nurses actually do?
Well, I think, you know, the dramatic times would be fine. I don't think anybody wants to see a nurse sitting there watching over someone when it's kind of slow, of course. But nurses do need to get more credit for the monitoring that they do. Tom said that it was nice to get, you know, credit from a patient when they're made more comfortable, and sometimes that patients don't understand anything else. And certainly that's an important part of nursing work, keep somebody comfortable, keeps them from getting a deadly bed sore. But also, you know, nurses need to speak more about what goes on inside their heads. If you articulate what you hear in the chest, maybe you've got some gurgling or wheezing in your lungs, and you can identify this has to do with your congestive heart failure, and here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to, you know, give you this medication or sit you up in bed or give you more oxygen. You know, if nurses spoke more about what goes on inside their heads, patients would understand, better patients and physicians would understand that something is going on inside of nurses' heads, because too few people understand that nurses are highly educated science professionals.
Tom, thank you very much for the call, and thanks for what you do as it's Nurse Appreciation Week.
Thank you, Tom.
Bye. Let's take another caller, and Regina in Maguanago joins us next. Hi, you're on the air.
Wow. Normally, excuse me, I'm not up and listening to the radio at this time because I do a kind of a later shift, but here I am, and I'm so grateful for this program. This is just, I have so many things I want to talk about, but I'll try to stick to one point here. Not only does the public buy into these stereotypes about how nurses and doctors operate, but I see it amongst healthcare professionals themselves. And these are folks that this really can lead to some really serious issues, because when I have a nurse that's too intimidated by a physician to confront them about a problem that's going on with a patient, that patient suffers. And I've seen this repeatedly. Now, you know, I haven't seen anybody die from one of these errors or concerns that's going on. But if a nurse is afraid to talk to a physician as an equal about what is going on, that leads to all kinds of issues. And I see it amongst the healthcare professionals themselves.
So you think the healthcare professionals are getting that message from the TV shows?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's got to be part of this, because when we go through when I went through nursing school, I was told that we're just as important as anybody in the healthcare team, but I watch these new nursing students come out, and they are so afraid to talk to some of these physicians about what they see or what's going on. And that cannot be good, because communication is what saves lives. And if you don't feel free to talk to somebody openly about what you see, what's going on, how the patient's being treated, whether that patient is communicating openly with a physician or hiding information or afraid to share information, that leads to all kinds of concerns.
Yeah, and Sandy, I think that was a point, too, that you had a complaint about these shows, is they often show nurses in reporting to doctors as though the doctors were their supervisors, when that's never the case.
Absolutely. Excuse me. Nurses report to nursing managers, report to their superiors, who go all the way up to the chief nursing officer, who generally reports to the CEO of the hospital. So nurses do not report to physicians. And this is very important. There, as Regina said, there needs to be a balance of power. Nurses are the double check on physician, you know, arrogance, really, and mistakes. Sometimes physicians make mistakes. They put the decimal point in the wrong place. They choose the wrong medication, a medication that might interact with another one. Nurses have to double-check every single prescription that a physician writes. And I say prescription, not order, because physicians do not give nurses orders. Nurses should not take orders. They write prescriptions, and if they're not good for the patient, they negotiate with the physician for a better outcome. And there's research that shows when nurses and physicians don't get along, nurses are driven from the workplace and the workforce, and patient health suffers. Patients die when you have environments where nurses and physicians can't get along, there is a lot of physician disruptive behavior. And more hospitals are adopting zero abuse tolerance policies, which I encourage all hospitals to adopt, because when nurses are afraid of physicians, I mean, some physicians, you know, yell at nurses on a routine basis. They throw things at them. They throw scalpels at them in the OR and drop charts on their feet and things like that. And this is just absolutely unconscionable that this sort of thing would go on, that this sort of intimidation would go on for nurses. And nurses, sometimes they have been rallying together. They call a code pink, to pink meaning embarrass the physician. So all the nurses will rally around and stand and just kind of stare at the physician until they kind of back down. So I do encourage nurses to back each other up and take them on. And, you know, nursing is an autonomous profession. Nurses are educated by nurses, and nurses report to a nursing board that oversees, you know, nurses. Nurses have their own code of ethics. We are not junior physicians. We are our own autonomous professionals. We make decisions every day that save lives and improve outcomes, and nurses need to be given credit for that.
Yeah. So, Regina, I didn't catch, do you watch these shows?
Well, I'm no fun to watch these shows with, because I'll sit there with my family and correct every scene, because I've worked in a few different settings now, and I'm currently working in hospice care, so it's a little bit different ballgame there as well. But I've worked in a lot of areas, and part of it is I did a lot of patient education for years, and people just have no idea about how their bodies work, what reality really is for what you need to do to survive through a healthcare crisis. They have no clue, because all they're doing is watching these television shows, and they do not reflect how sick you get, how long it takes, that it is going to be inconvenient in terms of body fluids coming out, and somebody's got to do it. And most people are taking care of themselves at home with family members working with them.
Yeah.
Because
well,
they're not in the hospital for very long. They go home very, very ill, and then they're really afraid because it doesn't look anything like it does on TV.
Yeah. Thank goodness someone does it, and thank you for doing it, Regina. We appreciate your call. We're going to move on to some other callers. Dawn in Wauwatosa is waiting. Hi, Dawn. You're on the air.
Good morning. Thanks. I'm calling as someone who is not in the medical profession, and the way that I would gain more esteem from nurses is not anything that I see on the media, but if I were to learn that they took responsibility for their own well-being and said to hospital administrators, we will no longer participate in mandatory overtime, or if they said we will no longer participate in these fluctuating shifts that they're assigned to. We get, you know, third shift all the time or second shift all the time or a regular schedule so that it doesn't create as much stress. So if I were to learn that they were becoming empowered collectively in their labor settings, that would create a lot of esteem. And I think if they were to do that, they would become empowered in other ways as well.
Mm-hmm. Sandy?
Well, I'm all for nurses becoming empowered and for fighting against mandatory overtime, which is not good for anyone's health, the nurses or the patients. And flexible shifts, you know, nurses should have a lot more control over the shifts that they do want to work. Now, somebody's got to work nights or else patients are going to die, but some nurses like to work nights, and sometimes a shift differential can encourage them to, you know, encourage more people to work it. So I think nurses should, you know, get together and fight for things. Stand up and fight the system that, you know, makes working conditions so bad. And, you know, nurses have to talk about the working conditions that they're put under. A lot of nurses say, oh, well, you know, they try to tough it out or make it seem to other nurses like you're just not the nurse I am if you can't take care of eight patients and keep them all alive. Like, yeah, well, I can't take care of eight patients and keep them alive. If you give me four, I'll do my best, you know. But if you're going to give me eight, no. You know, nobody should take pride in trying to take care of eight patients that, because it's insane. You can't possibly do a good job at doing that. Nurses want to be able to do a good job at their work. And when you're given too many patients, you can't do a good job. And that demoralizes nurses and drives them from the workforce. So there needs to be more, you know, instead of buying nurses a cup of coffee for Nurses Week, I wish hospitals would actually go in and look at the working conditions nurses actually face and do something about them, put nurses in more decision-making roles. If you look at the boards of trustees on hospitals, you're lucky if one out of two even has one nurse on the board of trustees. Yet hospitals exist to provide nursing care. If you didn't need nursing care, you wouldn't be in the hospital. You'd be at home or at an outpatient center. But, you know, and a lot of these hospitals think they can be directed by zero nurses, which is it's just insane. So there needs to be more nurses in positions of decision-making. And if nurses, you know, want to get unions, that's fine. But they should also be in, the higher decision-making levels. There should be far more nurses in those positions.
John in Madison, we're almost out of time. John, go ahead.
I'd just like to say my wife is a nurse. My oldest daughter is a nurse. I worked in the hospital on the staff. I think that the difference is the environment in a hospital is kind of a closed environment, and doctors are encouraged or allowed to behave the way they do towards the rest of the staff, and nurses are put in a position where they're subject to the doctor's whims. I guess that's all I need to say.
All right. Not all doctors are bad, though, are they, Sandy?
No, I actually have a couple good friends who are physicians, so they're not all bad. And indeed, it is the minority who behave so poorly. But even if it's only 5% of the physician workforce that who behave this way, it can still occupy a great deal of the brains of the nurses who have to work this way. They get fearful. They get intimidated. They don't stand up. These one-minute pre-op checks that are now becoming the standard, a lot of physicians refuse to take part in them or act as if they're only a nursing thing. But these also help nurses become more empowered and say, hey, it looks like you're going to operate on the left side of the brain when you're supposed to operate on the right side of the brain. When nurses don't feel empowered enough to stand up to an imperious, abusive physician and say that, and that's when terrible mistakes happen. So it's for patient health that nurses need more empowerment.
In less than 30 seconds, are you seeing a change with the media portrayal at all?
Well, I'm hopeful that Showtime is going to have Nurse Jackie on coming out next month. TNT will have Hawthorne coming out. There's a new show called Mercy coming out. I don't exactly know when. So I'm holding my breath to hope to see it's going to be a good show.
All right, we'll check it out. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me, Joy.
Sandy Summers is co-author of Saving Lives, Why the Media's Portrayal of Nurses Puts Us All at Risk. Thanks to Carmen Jackson, Rob Ferret, and Cynthia Schuster, and Bill Martins for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.